but why he does it. And so I'm going to try and pull back the curtain, and I'm going to try and show you why God is doing stuff in your life's journey. All right? So we're going to be looking at your life's journey as this relates to God, and we're going to be talking about epiphanies or revelation that comes to you. All right? So that gives you an idea. Now, let me summarize this whole mini-series and say this. When we receive a revelation about God, it is an invitation to come to a new, deeper, higher relationship with God. And in doing that, there is a renewal of the mind that occurs and a transformation that occurs. Once this transformation has occurred, you become the revelation that you originally received to the world. So that's a summary. Are you with me? Okay. I knew you'd want me to say it again. I knew that. So we're going to take this step by step. When we receive a revelation from God, it primarily is to enhance our relationship with him. See, we are in a relationship with God. We are not in a religion with God. And with every revelation or epiphany, with every revelation, there has to come a transformation. If we have a revelation without a transformation, we only received information. And information just makes you a fathead. Like you get so smart, you know, you just know it all, but nothing's actually changed in you. So, when we receive a revelation from God, he is inviting us, it's an invitation, he is inviting us to partake of that revelation. Understand now? Okay. So he's inviting you. So revelation is God's invitation. And you certainly don't want to turn down God's invitation, do you? Huh? So we have to watch this. Now, an invitation has to be accepted, yeah? You've invited many people to parties and different events that you were having, but they didn't accept the invitation, so they didn't come, all right? So transformation can only occur once we have accepted the invitation. I'm going to take it slow, all right? I want you to get this. We must change the way we think about God in order to partake of what's being offered. Right? I know it's not a shout in the camp. We've had some really soft, easy messages for the last couple of weeks. I thought I'd give you something to chew on this morning. Can I hear the chewing sounds? Okay, let me show you how this works. Let me give you a practical example of how it works. Let's talk about the revelation of who Jesus is. This is how it works, right? So Jesus said in Mark 16:13, he said, the scripture says, when Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, who do people say the Son of Man is? And they replied, some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others, Jeremiah or one of the prophets. So there are many opinions as to who Jesus is. And of course, that's true today. And you tell somebody about Jesus, and well, I think he's this, and I think he's that, and so, you know, they have all these ideas. But this is the most important question that you will ever have to answer as a human being. This is the most important question. Who do you say Jesus is? It will determine where you spend eternity. So the revelation of who Jesus is critical. Can you see that? All right. So Jesus says to his disciples, but who do you say? But what do you say? He asked, who am I? Who do you say I am? And Simon Peter answered, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Good answer. Jesus replied, blessed are you, Simon. Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah. For this was not revealed. Here's this word, revelation or reveal. This was not revealed to you by man, but by my Father in heaven. So God gave Simon or Peter a revelation. So the revelation of who Jesus is obviously an invitation for us to be born again, to be saved, to accept him as Lord and Savior, and to be born of the Spirit. Can you see that? The revelation of who Jesus is an invitation to become more godlike. It's an invitation to change your status and to go higher, deeper, and further, and more intimate with God. Can you see that? Yeah. All right, so now this invitation comes, the revelation brings invitation. How many people do you know who you've extended the invitation to who didn't accept it? And therefore, they remained untransformed. Are you getting it now? Yeah. Do you see how the revelation is what transforms you? If you accept the revelation, you partake of the revelation, and you receive more of God. Now, what this particular revelation does, it opens entrance into the kingdom of heaven. Not only are you born again, but it opens entrance into the kingdom of heaven and makes available to you all things that God has provided for his children. See, not everybody born on the earth is a child of God. They are human beings. That's all they are. They're not children of God. And that's part of the confusion. People who say we're all children of God have no revelation of who Jesus is and what he came to do. They have no revelation of being born again. They just think because you're born, you're a child of God. But the Bible doesn't say that. You have to be born again to be a child of God. So you can hear when you talk to people whether they have revelation or whether they don't. See that? You can hear it immediately. So, this invitation then is to come into a deeper, higher, more intimate place with God. And every time God gives you a revelation, that is the purpose behind the invitation or the revelation. Now, God doesn't want change just for change's sake. A lot of folk think that they go to church and they're going to get told they have to change. They have to change. Stop this, start that. Do this, don't do that. It's all about changing because God is not happy with you. So you have to change. And that couldn't be further from the truth. God loves you. God loves you intensely, just the way you are. But he loves you too much to leave you the way you are. So he wants to bring about transformation in you. All transformation is based on revelation or an epiphany of our relationship with God. Let me just mess with married couples here, just for a moment, because you'll get this straight away. The relationship you have in your marriage, and I have a right to speak because it's 46 years today, I've had to change much more than Jackie had to change. Just want to slip that in. All change, all transformation became necessary to enhance our relationship. Are you listening? If you want your relationship with your wife, your husband, your spouse to stay the same as it is right now, then don't change a thing. But if you think there's room for improvement and it can grow and get deeper and stronger, then change is necessary. Whether that change is painful or not is irrelevant. The goal, what you're trying to achieve, the goal is what puts it in perspective. Painful, goal. Doesn't matter. I'm going to go through the pain because I want the goal. If your marriage is worth anything, pay the price. And that's the reason why so many marriages fail. It's because one or both of the spouses are not willing to pay the price to do the changing that's necessary to bring about a more intimate, loving, close, deeper relationship. Boy, I'm preaching good. I'm just so stunned because that wasn't even in my notes. Hey. Boy. Jackie, did you slip this in? I think you're right. She probably did. So let me apply this to our destiny. How many of you would like a life of significance? Yeah. Ever you? Yeah. You want to be a life of... So what do you want written on your tombstone? See, that's the thought. See, I know what I'm going to write on Jackie's tombstone. She is fabulous. If you ask her now, how's she doing? She's fabulous, right? Well, can you imagine when she gets to heaven? She is fabulous. But what do you want? What do you want? He or she fulfilled their destiny? Is that what you want? Well, let me just say something. Do you know that none of us can fulfill our destiny without the revelation of God that supports our destiny? You got to think about that one. There can be no destiny fulfillment without God. I don't care what the world tells you. I don't care what the speakers, motivational speakers tell you. You can run until you drop. You can be worth $1 billion. You can do whatever you want to do. You can think you've reached your destiny. But with God, if God is not in the picture, you have not reached your destiny. I'm going to show you what your destiny is from God's perspective. Okay? All right. So we're talking about change, and I'm going to introduce this to you and say this. Change begins with the renewal of the mind, to change the way that you think. Okay, has to start there. You can't have a life of significance without you having changed the way you think. So let's have a look at Scripture, Romans 12 and 2. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed. There's that word, transform. Okay, you got it. By the renewing of your mind. So change comes about by the renewing or the renewal of your mind. You change the way you think. Then, and then only, will you be able to test and approve what God's will is. What is His good, pleasing, and perfect will. So, according to the Scripture then, only the renewed mind has been given authority to approve God's will. You're not going to have to listen to this sermon again, aren't you? Mm-hmm. And let's push it a little deeper. Can we go a little deeper? And take a breath, okay? So, God has chosen to reveal His kingdom through the renewed mind. I'll take it further. The Holy Spirit manifests through the renewed mind. The book says, don't be conformed to this world. Why is it saying, don't be conformed to this world? Very simply, because whatever God does, it's exactly opposite to the world. When the world says up, God says down. When the world says take, God says give. Everything, it's exactly opposite. Hate somebody, God says love somebody. Somebody says take vengeance, God says forgive. Everything is opposite. So don't be conformed to what the world is. So the renewed mind enables the will of God in heaven to manifest in the earth. And it can't happen unless our mind is changed in the way we think about God. You see, God works through people. He works through people. But he can't work through somebody who does not have a renewed mind, who thinks of him differently. He has to work with people who know him intimately. So let me read the scripture again. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test. Your mind is renewed. Then you can test and approve what God's will is. His good, pleasing, and perfect will. You see, you can't live in one world by the principles of this world and expect to receive rewards from this world. You can't live in the world as the world and expect to receive God's blessings in the spirit realm, in the spirit world, as a child of God. And there's the confusion. And this is what happens so much. So many Christians live a life of mediocrity, and they don't come out of the world. And they're half in the world and half, you know, in Christianity. They're sitting on the fence, and you don't want to do that. You get a rash. You want to get out of the world into the kingdom, all right? If you're sitting on the fence, you're going to get beaten up by the devil and not to have enough power to protect you from, right? And that's why so many Christians are in trouble. Get out of that world, be transformed by the renewing of your mind, and then prove the will of God in your life. God is wanting to do that for you all the time. Now, see, the great work of the Holy Spirit in Scripture, the way I understand it, is a transforming work. It is transforming us, the body of Christ, the bride of Christ, the church, into the image of Jesus, from glory to glory, until we perfectly represent him. Why do people say there's so many hypocrites in the church? Because there are. What is a hypocrite? A hypocrite who says, I'm a Christian, but lives like the world. A hypocrite is a Christian that has not had their mind renewed. Therefore, there's been no transformation, and they haven't moved from glory to glory. They haven't improved in the relationship, haven't grown the relationship with God, and now walking out the manifested presence so that they represent Jesus perfectly. Remember, this whole series is about the invitation, the revelation to invitation to go into a deeper relationship with God, and then to manifest that relationship to the world, to manifest that revelation, rather, to the world. So let's have a look at the revelation of the transformation. I'm pulling back the curtain. I told you, I'm going to go to why God is doing stuff, not what he's doing. We're going to look at why is he doing this. All right? So, remember, the revelation is God's invitation to partake. In 2 Corinthians 3 and verse 18. And all of us, as with unveiled face. And the unveiled face is a reference to the Old Testament where the law of Moses was read and they had to put a veil over Moses' face because the glory of God shone so brightly people couldn't look at his face. They put a veil over his face. But now, under grace, that veil is removed. But people who still live by the law have that veil put back in place, and they don't understand the revelation of Jesus. So now it says, all of us with unveiled face, the veil is taken away, because we continue to behold in the word of God as in a mirror the glory of the Lord. Let me just back up before I go any further. Notice what it said here. It said, this can't happen. Watch what's going on. All of us with unveiled face, because we continue to behold in the Word as a mirror the glory of the Lord, are constantly being transformed, transfigured. So this transfiguration, this transformation can't occur, it can't happen until we are reading, studying, meditating in the Word of God continuously. The scripture just told us. So this is what we want, but the way God says this is the way you're going to get it is you're going to have to spend time in the Word. You're going to have to study. And that would obviously include coming to church. Do you realize every time you stay away from church, you miss a potential epiphany? You miss an invitation. You miss a revelation of becoming more godlike. Coming to church is not just, all right, I've paid my dues, good to God, check that off, gone to heaven, went to church. No, no, no. You might not go to heaven just because you went to church. If you don't change, and God doesn't want change just for change's sake, He's trying to bring you into a godlike image. So let's continue reading. Okay, I've got a thought. Let me go with a thought. We have to meditate in the Word. So, no meditation, no revelation. No revelation, no invitation. No invitation, no transformation. That's a good thought. I hope I remember that for the second service. You guys are getting the mother load right now. We'll go through that one again. So we had to meditate in the Word in order to have the transformation. When we're meditating in the Word, we're going to get an epiphany. We're going to get a revelation. When we get the revelation, we understand it's an invitation. God is saying, come up here. Come in deeper. I want to bring about change in your life. I want to increase our, deepen our relationship. So, no meditation, no revelation. No revelation, no invitation. No invitation, no transformation. Now you have to choose. What are we going to do? Well, according to this scripture, we're going to dig in and do it. So he says, let me start again reading the scripture from the beginning. And all of us with unveiled face, because we continued to behold in the Word of God as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are constantly being transfigured. We're being transformed. Watch this. Into His very own image. If you thought what I was saying becoming godlike was far-fetched, not according to Scripture, we're being transformed into His image. In ever increasing splendor, and from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. And that's what I said. The great work of the Holy Spirit is the transformation of the bride of Christ, the body of Christ, to bring us from glory to glory until we represent Jesus perfectly. It is by the Spirit. Do you think you can handle one more revelation before I quit? You sure? Just say quit if you want me to. All right. So we've had the revelation of who Jesus is. We've had the revelation of renewing our mind. And we've got the revelation of being transformed into the glory, glorious image of Jesus. What about the revelation of who the Father is? That's a big one, huh? All right. So in Matthew 11:27, Jesus says, all things have been committed to me by my Father. And no one knows the Son except the Father. Huh. And no one knows the Father except the Son. No one knows the Father except the Son. Now, buckle down, hold tight. And those to whom the Son chooses to reveal Him. Did I not say it's about revelation? Did I not say it's about epiphany? Did I not say that it's an invitation to change? So Jesus is the perfect representation of the Father. He is perfect doctrine. He is perfect theology. He represented the Father perfectly. In John 14, verse 9, Jesus said, don't you know me, Philip? Even after I've been among you such a long time, anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. You're looking at Jesus, but he said you've seen the Father. So Jesus represented the will and the heart of the Father perfectly. Is that right? Amen. Perfectly. And we are called to represent Jesus' heart and will perfectly. Yeah? All right, some of you agree. Some of you haven't had the epiphany yet. So, Jesus is the will of the Father manifest in this tangible realm. See, the Old Testament gave an image, an idea of God. And I promise you, when I read the Old Testament, I would never have served him. I would have pushed everybody in front of me so they would die first. And I'd be killing animals all day. I could understand why people were like totally afraid. I mean, so they had this concept of God that Jesus had to change. So Jesus comes on the scene and he says, guys, let me tell you who the Father is. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Okay? Did Jesus injure anybody? No. Jesus make anybody sick?
Nope.
No. So now we see the Father through Jesus. And my question is, why did Jesus perfectly represent the Father? Why? Why? I'm pulling back the curtain. I'm asking, why? It is so that the revelation would become an invitation for us to come into a new relationship with God the Father and be transformed into his image. You say the Father's image? Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know. It just gets deeper. It just gets deeper. And it's like, what? Whose image now? Can I show you from Scripture?
Yes.
All right. Come with me. Ephesians 5, verse 1. Be imitators of God. Be imitators of God the Father. Act like God the Father. Talk like God the Father. Do what God the Father does. Love like God the Father loves. Forgive like God the Father forgives. You get it? Imitate the Father. Imitate God as beloved children. And walk in love as God loves. Walk in love just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant sacrificial offering to God. So we are invited by this revelation, if we get it, to love as Christ loved. You say, I couldn't do that. Yeah, obviously you can. You know why? Remember, it's the Holy Spirit at work. Remember this? The Bible says this. The love of God has been shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. You didn't receive the love of God just for you to feel ooey-gooey. Sloppy agape. You received the love of God so that you could be the revelation of the love of God to the world. You have been transformed by the epiphany of the love of God so that you can be the love of God to the world. Imitate God. Love as Christ loved. Now, this is possible since the scripture says here as children. So it is possible then for us to accept this invitation into a deeper, higher, more intimate relationship with God. We're talking about a revelation of the love of God. Do you see that? So the epiphany now of the revelation of the love of God's invitation for you to become and to partake of the love of God and to walk into this new relationship with God, knowing that he is love and that he loves you. And John had it. If you read the Gospels of John and the little baby epistles of John, the little letters, he was into it. I mean, he goes so deep. He said, if you say you love God and don't love your brother, you're lost as a goose in a snowstorm. He said, no, you don't get it yet. You don't get it. There's no way. God, you can't see. Your brother, you can see. And you can say you can love someone you can't see, but you can't love someone you can see. No, he said the love of God is not in you. Right? Tough words. But so when we receive the revelation about God, it's primarily, remember, to enhance our relationship with God. But the revelation must ultimately bring about transformation. Therefore, if we are not loving as God loves, what does it say? There's been no transformation. If there's been no transformation, back up, it means you either didn't accept the invitation or you didn't get the revelation. It doesn't mean the revelation wasn't given. just means you didn't get it. Because if you got it, there'd be a change. And the outworking of this change would be, you would be the love of God to the world. Okay. Let me give you just one scripture. We'll be done. I can see smoke coming out of your heads. See, once we receive this epiphany, once we receive this revelation, we become the revelation to others. We become the revelation. 1 John 4:17. By this is love perfected with us, so that we may have confidence for the day of judgment, because as he is, so also are we in this world. Now, we love to quote that. We love to just give the tail portion of it. We like to say, as he is, so are we. But if you read it in context, it is actually saying that as God is love, so are we love in the world. So once love has been perfected. By this, love has been perfected with us. It's become mature in us. It has grown. There has been a transformation. There has been a change. Why? Because the invitation came by revelation, and it came by the revelation of who Jesus is, what Jesus did for us. He demonstrated the love of God by dying on the cross and taking our sin. We see the love of God demonstrated in Jesus. We accept that invitation to come into a new walk and relationship with God. Now the love of God fills us, and now we live out that revelation to others. And as he is, so are we in this world. I'm out of time. I'm going to quit here.